Father, we come into your word with the reverence that it deserves. We recognize our limitations to deliver and to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into this written word. And therefore, we see our acute need for help. Thus, we ask for it. We pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that I would speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, I pray the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, physically now present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to be more humble, our minds to be enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God in great measure will be released to follow these words wherever they are heard and releasing all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I will do it with precision, redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. The Bible tells us, turn with me to Romans chapter 15 verse 4 to start with. Romans 15 verse 4. And it says that the things which were written, Romans chapter 15. Please, we need to be very on our watch this afternoon. We always should be, but good. For whatsoever, I didn't hear you, things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. How many people want hope here? In the light of all things, how many people want some hope? Hallelujah. So God tells us here that the things that are written in the scripture were written so that we can learn. Of course, it's not the physical learning, spiritual understanding from the Holy Spirit for our learning, so that through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 in the Amplified Bible, if you will. Colossians, the second chapter, verses 16 and 17 in the Amplified. Therefore, Amplified, yes. Let no one judge you, sit in judgment on you in matters of food and drink, or with regard to a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath. Talking about the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. They don't let anybody, you know, put you into bondage. I don't have to go to Jerusalem today. I don't have to kill animals. I don't have to observe the Sabbath. I don't have to observe, you know, the Feast of Pentecost or Tabernacles. No. All those things, verse 6:17. Such things are only the shadow of things that are to come. They have only a symbolic value. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it, belongs to Christ. In other words, all these things we read in the Old Testament, the reality of them, the solid fact of them, are going to be fulfilled in the New Testament. That is why the New Testament prophet is a little bit different from the Old Testament prophet. The Old Testament prophets spoke by what you might call direct revelation. They would hear the word of God and then they would speak it. We still do that in the New Testament to some degree. Or they would have a vision or have a dream and then they will say what they saw in the vision and the dream. The New Testament prophet still does that to some degree. But to a far greater degree, the New Testament prophet is God reveals to them things that are to come by using types and shadows in the word. That's why the Bible says the law is a shadow of things to come. So to see what is coming, you go into the shadow and then you see it, and then God gives you the understanding, the revelation of it, and then you preach and you teach it. When you preach and you teach it, it is to equip the people to be able to prosper in the things that are to come. And when they do that and they obey, they believe the prophets and they obey the prophets, then what? Then they will prosper in the things to come. Today I want to speak about Joshua, Daniel, and Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, these are just prophetic shadows of what we are experiencing to some degree and will yet experience in the days to come, the months and the years to come. To say we are living in perilous times is an understatement. To say that everybody on the earth today is being shaken is an obvious statement. People are really wondering, particularly in America, but not only America, because America affects the whole world. Everybody wondering, what in the world is happening? And what is going to happen to us? Are we going to a nuclear holocaust? Some people are even thinking, will we even be here next year? Praise the Lord. It's as bad as that. People are wondering. But I bring you a message of hope. Now, firstly, let's talk about Joseph. I'm going to pick each of these characters, you know, and explain a few prophetic things about them. And then I'll bring the whole thing together to apply to what is happening today. Joseph is a type of the end time church that is going to bring economic prosperity to the world and also will discipline political rulers. And we see this in Joseph's life. We see what God gave Joseph a dream. The dream was interpreted to Pharaoh, who is a type of the political leaders of that day, well, of that time of Joseph. And in the revelation and the interpretation of the dream, Joseph gave the solution to the economic hardships that was going to hit the nation in the years to come. It was not immediate. It was actually 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. But to cut a long story short, that God used Joseph to that. He was able to see ahead of time what was going to happen and then advise and counsel Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, fortunately, providentially, thankfully, heeded to what Joseph said, and the nation was saved from total economic catastrophe. Not only that nation, but all the nations around. Everybody benefited from what Joseph did. The other aspect of Joseph's life is not very explicit in the scriptural account in Genesis. We see by revelation the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 105. Where are we? And we're looking at verses 20 and 21. Psalm 105. Talking here about Joseph, well, let's move up to verse 19. Let's look up to verse 19. He said, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The other translation says that it tested him, took him through various tests and trials, which is what we're going through now. Verse 20. Then the king sent and loosed him, and even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Verse 21. And he made him, I didn't hear you, lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. Again, this shows the Joseph anointing has one effect of it is that it's going to cause financial domination. You see this in Deuteronomy. He says, he'll make you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. He'll open to you his good treasures, and you will lend to nations, and you will not borrow. All this is part of the Joseph anointing that is still yet to manifest in this day that we're living in, but is right ahead in front of us. Verse 22. Now, this is an aspect. We don't see any record of this in Genesis. We just see like a general summary that Joseph was next to Pharaoh and his word was law throughout Egypt. But here, David, the psalmist, by revelation, gives us a deeper insight. He says, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Here, we see the anointing on Joseph being used to restrict. The word bind, when you bind somebody, it means that you don't allow them to do what they like. There is a certain restriction that is placed upon them, you know. And here it also says, they teach the senators wisdom. In other words, there's going to come revelation and there's going to come counsel from the Joseph anointing, from the Joseph church, if you like, that God is going to use to teach the politicians and help them to rule properly. I said this some days ago, some weeks ago about Nigeria, but it's not only going to be true about Nigeria, it's going to be true, you know, in America, it's going to be true worldwide to quite a great degree. And so that concludes the Joseph anointing, at least the part of it I want to talk about. The second person I want to look at is Daniel. Daniel is also an end time church or prophet who, through intercession, you don't see much of prayer and intercession in the life of Joseph. I'm certain Joseph prayed, but you don't see any big emphasis on that. But you see a strong emphasis on intercession in the life of Daniel. In particular, you see God using Daniel to change kings. And that's very significant now for us. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. I'm just going to hit that and hit it running and then move on to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, Daniel, you know, for the background, you know, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He couldn't remember the dream. He wanted to kill all the wise men, including Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel asked for time, did an all-night prayer. During the all-night prayer, God revealed the dream to Daniel and the interpretation. This is Daniel giving thanks to God after the dream had been revealed to him. This is before he even went to Nebuchadnezzar. When he went to Nebuchadnezzar, he told Nebuchadnezzar what he saw. But here, he was giving thanks to God for what God revealed to him. And he said, he changeth. Oh, we need to move to verse 20. Good. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Verse 21. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He what? Removeth kings and what? Setteth up kings. He gives what? Wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Here we see the Daniel anointing. We're really primarily an anointing of, it's prophetic, but it's also closely, intricately interwoven with intercession, you know, that God is used back then and still using today, you know, to change the times and the seasons, to remove kings, to set up kings, to give wisdom to kings. Again, you see that in Joseph. You know, and to give knowledge to them that know understanding. So we're going to be looking at, I preached this some years ago, of what I call a cocktail of anointings, where you see all these anointings interwoven and mixed together. And this is one of the characteristics of the end time church, that is to manifest the wisdom and the glory of God today. This Joseph, today I want to zero in on Joseph and Daniel. There are others, there are Enoch, there's Abraham, all those 12 anointings, you know, forming a governmental anointing that we confess at the end of every service. We're going to do it again today. But for today, I want to focus on Joseph and Daniel. The Joseph and Daniel anointings in particular, because they are relevant to what is taking place in the earth as I speak. The last character, which is also a prophetic shadow, and that's why I gave you that introduction, is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of a political ruler that God uses to chasten his people when they disobey him. Give me Jeremiah chapter 27. And Jeremiah, verse 27, look at verse 6, because of time. Now, watch this. We need to go back up a little bit. Go to verse 5. Good. Go to verse 4. Here, let me just give the background and then I'll read from verse 5. Israel had disobeyed God. So God told them that they were going to be taken away into captivity. He spoke this to Jeremiah. This was years before it happened. Years before it happened. It actually happened in the life of Jeremiah. It happened towards the tail end of his ministry. You know, but at the beginning of his ministry, Jeremiah began to tell them, if you guys don't change, something bad is going to happen. Judgment is going to come. And they didn't listen to him. Anyway, he tells them of what God's going to do. And says he's going to use a Gentile ruler, an unbeliever. And he's going to use that Gentile ruler to chasten his people and ultimately break their pride, break their will, and ultimately bring them back to himself and then bring them back to the land. And that's why you see Daniel, for those of you who know the Bible well, and even those who don't, but this is good information for you, you will see that Daniel, in the book of Daniel, towards the end of Daniel's ministry, Daniel went, he said he understood by the books the number of years that had been spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah had not only prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar would come, he also told them how many years they would be in captivity, and at the end of those years that God was going to return them. So when Daniel began to look at the books, he began to see that the time that Jeremiah said that they were going to be returned was drawing nigh. He did not sit back passively. He began to intercede actively. And it was his intercession that God ultimately used to stir up the spirit of Cyrus to bring the people back. But we're concentrating on Nebuchadnezzar for this afternoon. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had certain characteristics that I'm going to bring out, and then we'll apply them to what we're seeing today. Now, here in verse 5, it says, I have made the earth. I didn't hear you. Don't your neighbor say, who made the heaven and the earth? So return back to them and say, God. I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my what? Great power and by my... Now, look at that next phrase. And I have given it to whomsoever seemed meet unto me. Very significant. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But I want you to see something. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I probably will, you know, a little bit. In Daniel chapter 4, don't go there. I'll just mention it. The Bible tells us that God rules in the affairs of men. And he gives it to even the lowliest. The person you would not even ever think of. Stay here. Quickly jump to Daniel 4 and jump back here. Daniel chapter 4. And look at just verse 17. I'm going to actually come back to it later, you know, as the Lord helps me. You know, but it's relevant here. Because you can see the same thing Jeremiah said was what Daniel said. He said, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones to the intent. That the living may know that the Most High ruleth where? And giveth it to whomsoever will. That's exactly the same thing Jeremiah said, isn't it? Isn't it? But Jeremiah did not add this. Daniel added this. I want you to understand something, dearly beloved brethren. You see, these scriptures were written hundreds of years apart from each other. Jeremiah prophesied, died, gone to heaven. Daniel was taken as a slave during the Babylonian captivity, taken to Babylon, was a slave under Nebuchadnezzar, was serving Nebuchadnezzar, and it was during Nebuchadnezzar's reign that this revelation came. And he said, he not only does he give it to whomsoever he will, he sets over it the basest of men. This is why what has happened in America recently, people find it difficult to understand. How can a person like that, with all things that he said and everything, become the president? But you see, God is moving on. And we have to understand it, so that we can intelligently cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and so that ultimately the will of God will be done. Are you listening to me? Give this to me in the New International. We're going to go back to Jeremiah in a minute. New International Version. Am I talking to anybody here? Yes. Here he says, and gives them, because of time, I don't want to read the other, to anyone he what? Wishes, and sets over them the what? That's a contradiction. Why would you set the lowliest of men to rule over people? Ordinarily, you should set people who are of noble character. People who are of sterling character. People who are upright, who are honest, who are people of integrity. In fact, one place it was David who said this. You know, when God said, I have found in David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all of my will. And I have made him captain over my people. And he says that he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. This looks like a contradiction. He sets over the... How would God set the lowliest of men over men when men deserve it? He doesn't normally do that. That's why Nebuchadnezzar was raised up, was allowed to arise by God himself, to be used as a chastening rod for Israel. They wouldn't listen to the prophets. So God said, you won't listen? All right. I'm going to send you somebody. And when I finish chastening you, then you will return back to me. Which was what happened. It was after they were in Babylonian captivity for so many years that, like, Daniel began to pray. Then when Daniel died, he was taken over by Ezra and Nehemiah, and they now took the people back. You know, even when they got back, they still did some terrible things. It was Ezra again who was crying to God. There's something about the stubbornness of the human heart that is only the chastening rod of God that can break it. The scripture tells us in the book of Numbers, he said, you will disobey me. He said, I will still chasten you 7 more times, and then I will break the power of your pride. It's not all gloom and doom. There's a lot of good news I'm going to tell you in a minute. You know, that, and all of it is going to depend on many factors. One thing we learned from this election, of course we knew it before, I'm talking about the elections in America, was that God does not violate men's free will. If people choose, God will not break their will. He will not violate their will. He will try and influence it. He will try and show them the right thing to do. But if they choose to do something else, he is not going to violate their will. And that's one of the reasons why the election went the way it went. Like somebody said, my wife said this, you know, my father-in-law echoed it just, you know, off the cuff. You know, and so many other people have said this thing. The Americans are getting the man they want. The man they deserve. If someone, another person who is very qualified and everything, trying to stick to the, not that she was an angel herself, you know, but, you know, at least relatively. And then this other fellow, and then, you know, they say that this is the one they want. So God said, okay, you can have him. But there will be consequences. But that's where I bring this prophetic word, and I want to bring comfort and I want to bring hope. Not only for America, but even for us. Because let me tell you the truth about the matter. Whatever happens to America is going to affect everybody. Don't deceive yourself and think you're far away. Whatever happens there affects us. So it is in our enlightened self-interest to see that it is well with America. Are you listening to me? Now, I wrote something down here. I got up 4 a.m. this morning. I began to pray. God began to speak to me. I already had it in my heart, but God now said, I started, because I always write before I come and preach, and get the, and I wrote something down. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of ruler that God uses to chastise his people. Then after God has chastised his people, God will now chastise Nebuchadnezzar himself. And change Nebuchadnezzar. And this is true in the story of Nebuchadnezzar in particular. Change him from an ungodly, wicked ruler to become a godly, benevolent ruler. Do you know Nebuchadnezzar changed? He didn't start like that. Let me say a few things, and then I'll go into what's happening today and the shaking and try and round up as quickly as God will help me. Now, watch this. When Nebuchadnezzar conquered all the lands, he conquered everybody, including Israel, everybody, took Israel into captivity. He was a very impulsive, sound familiar? Temperamental and proud man. That was Nebuchadnezzar. Very impulsive. Does things just the way he feels. He had a dream. He couldn't remember the dream. They're going to kill everybody. That's typical Nebuchadnezzar. Thank God there was a Daniel in the land. Thank God today there is a Daniel in the land. Thank God there is a Daniel in the land. Daniel said, let not the king be hasty. Let him not be hasty. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. He said, give me one night. And Daniel prays. There's a reason why I'm telling you this story. Gets the revelation. Gives the revelation to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges. And says, oh yeah, your God is a great God. Promotes Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But true to his character. Just, it wasn't long after he has forgotten. He goes back into his idolatry. Then the same God who revealed that dream to him, he now asks Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go and bow before his idol. How come Nebuchadnezzar's memory is so short? It's a character defect. I'm coming. It's a character defect. So what happens? They throw the boys in the fire. God delivers the boys supernaturally. They come out. Nebuchadnezzar again. That's his character is volatile. Again, oh, there is no God like the God of Israel. Anybody who speaks anything that makes the God of Israel, let his house be made a dunghill. Blah, 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 blah. Fine. Okay. Then he has another dream. This is God's dealings with men. He has another dream. The dream, he's there, like his tree is cut off, but not totally. Everybody say, thank God for his mercy. Say, thank God for his mercy. Say, the mercy of God is going to preserve Donald Trump. The mercy of God will preserve America. The mercy of God will preserve us. It's a message of hope. That we through the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The scriptures are a shadow of things to come. You know what God does? The same Daniel. He calls him. Daniel interprets the dream. In fact, initially, when Daniel knows what the dream is so drastic. He doesn't even want to tell Nebuchadnezzar. what I was talking about earlier during the Bible study, goodwill. Daniel was a good man. Daniel was a divine man. Even though Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked person, he didn't even want something bad to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted to find a way of helping Nebuchadnezzar. So he said, my Lord, this dream be to thy enemies. Because it was a very harsh judgment. So Nebuchadnezzar said, tell me. So he said, okay. To cut a long story short, I'm paraphrasing because of time. He interprets the dream to Nebuchadnezzar and said, "The dream's about you. You're walking in pride. You are recalcitrant. You're not listening to anybody. You're doing things the way you like. I'm giving you an Olubi Johnson 2016 translation. God's going to cut you down to size, boy. God is going to cut you down to size. So, and he does something which I find very godly. And we prophets, those of us who are the prophetic ministry and all that, we must learn from the example of Daniel as well as Joseph. You know, even when you are dealing with unbelievers and when you're dealing with bad men, you know, you still have to show the grace of God. You know what Daniel told him? He said, let me counsel you. He said, cut off your wickedness. He said, show mercy to the poor. He said, maybe there will be a lengthening of thy tranquility. I wish Nebuchadnezzar had taken the advice. And I pray today that as godly men surround Donald Trump, and as we pray for him, not only us, but saints all over the world, he will listen to advice. And he will do the right things. Because he has enough people around him who are telling him the truth. Let me say this. This message is not against Donald Trump. No, far from it. No. I wish him the best. Like Hillary Clinton said, like Barack Obama said, like so many other world leaders said, it is in our interest that he succeeds. It is in our interest that he succeeds. He will succeed in Jesus' name. And we, like Samuel, will not cease to pray for him. Simply because the people chose somebody that was not perfectly perfect, God's perfect will. But they make their choice. But Samuel said, I will not sin by stopping to say, pray for you. So we are not going to stop praying for America. We're not going to stop praying for Donald Trump. Even when we hear he says some silly things, even when we hear he says some bad things, even when we hear he does some bad things, he won't stop us from praying. So, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel tells him, he said, look, do this. He didn't listen. It's part of his nature. You see, the thing about Nebuchadnezzar, you have to understand, the outstanding thing about him, apart from being wicked, you know, and ungodly, you know, he was proud. Very proud. And that was the thing God was going to deal with. So you know what happened? The Bible says, it was not 12 months. The word of the prophet is going to come to pass. He said, just a year. He said, all these things came to pass. I said that in Nigerian language. His reason left him. He became like an animal. He went into the forest 7 years. The rain and the dew beat on him. The Bible says at the end of 7 years, you see, Nebuchadnezzar raised up his eyes. I wish he had done it at the beginning. You don't have to wait. And this is the only truth for me. It's true for all of us. Don't wait until God has something really drastic. Why don't you raise up your eyes now? Why don't you humble yourself now? He said he raised up his eyes. And then I knew. Why didn't he know before? He had, watch this. He had had the first chance, the first dream. He had the second chance, the fire that brought out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had the third chance when Daniel, by now you should have known. That's typical Nebuchadnezzar for you. Pride is a terrible thing. It doesn't, you, you, it bl- blinds you. Even when you can see the truth, you just won't see it. So he said, now my reason returned to me. And I knew that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. Give me verse 32. And those that walk in pride. And this is a word for our president-elect. We love you. We're going to be praying for you. But talk to God. The people around you, when they counsel you, humble yourself. Learn. You save a lot of unnecessary headache. That 7 years in the wilderness was not necessary. It could have been avoided. They that walk in pride, he is able to what? Trust me, he's able to do it. Trust me. Trust me. And I want to say this. The God who raised one up and put down another can take the one that he put up, bring him down and bring him another. What you need to do, and what we all need to do, is pray and obey God as best as we can. The words of Daniel are written in gold. Show mercy to the poor. Cut off thy sins. And there may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Give me those two scriptures. Yes. 27 and then we'll go to 32. Wherefore? It's a prophetic word. Present day. O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Verse 32. Good. Then go right to the bottom of Daniel 4. Where is Nebuchadnezzar? This is the judgment that was spoken. Where was Nebuchadnezzar who was speaking himself? Which verse is that? I think it's the last. 37, thank you. 37. That's where I want us to get to. Good. And at the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and my brightness returned unto me. My counselors and my lord sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom. Excellent majesty was added unto me. Let me just say this. I want to say this, and I say it because I don't know where this is going to go anywhere in the world. It's on the internet and everything, you know. And I want to say this. I want to say this about Donald Trump. I don't know him personally. All I know is what has been reported and what I've heard him say with his own mouth. You know, but the man is not all bad. One good thing about his children. Not only that, there are some good things inside there. In spite of his other obvious, infirmities, let's call it like that. But there is good. Like somebody said, there is some good in the worst of us. And there is some bad in the best of us. There's some good there. And is that good I want to appeal to in this prophetic message to bring out? You know what God did? When he brought judgment on Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't cut everything off. He left a stump. So, what we respond to, the free will of man, God doesn't violate it. He will appeal to you. We're appealing. Counsel. Prayer. But God will not force you. Your free will is still there. If you use it properly, it's for your benefit. If you don't, there's a consequence. And so here, he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. This is a sinner's prayer. Old Testament sinner's prayer. You know what sinner's prayer is? I believe Jesus is Lord. He died for my sin, was raised again from the dead. I accept him as my Savior and I confess him as my Lord. Correct? What did Nebuchadnezzar do here? He confessed the God of Israel as God. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to what? He is able to abase. He can do it all. So, the word goes out. Now, as we speak today, there is a shaking in the earth. Look at Haggai. Haggai chapter 2. And look at verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former. And in this place, which place? The temple, the house that he fills with glory, he said, will I give peace. This election has shaken the whole world. But it's only fulfilling prophetic scripture. God said he would shake all nations. We didn't know how he was going to do it, but now here we are. Shaking. Hallelujah. But the good news is, after the shaking, the desire of all nations shall come. That desire of all nations is the Joseph Daniel church. That is already inside the earth, and that will emerge and arise with the glory of God, will arise with the wisdom of God, will arise with the knowledge of God, will arise with the power of God. Hallelujah. And God will then fill the house, which is the church, with his glory, and then he will now bring peace to the instability. So it is inside, it is by the church that God is going to bring stability to these shaking times we're in. So there's good news ahead of time. Hallelujah. There's going to be a clash initially, but it will stabilize, don't worry. Are you listening to me? So we're going to see this in the days and in the years that are ahead of us. That God, the shaking of nations is taking place, is still taking place. But the desire of all nations shall come, and we stabilize the shaking. There's a beautiful scripture. Pastor Kwega just mentioned it, you know, in passing. I think on Wednesday when I was ministering, I just overheard him say, scripture I preached on some years ago. And it is in Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And if you look at verse 6. The scripture says, it's Isaiah. Isaiah 33 verse 6. Where it says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stab. What is the opposite of stability? Shaking. And wisdom and knowledge, I didn't hear you, shall be what? The stability of thy times. And what? Strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So as the Joseph Daniel church emerge or manifest, they will bring stability to this present shaking. There's going to be an interaction between the church and the world. Initially, it's going to be like a clash, actually, like what happened with Joseph, like what happened with Daniel. But the end of it will be stability. People have often asked, and you see this same truth in Isaiah 25, where it says God is going to make in this mountain a feast for all nations, and then he's going to remove the covering that is blinding the nations. All this will come into play as the church arises. The glory of God is manifest. It will dispel the current darkness, you know, and the light and the knowledge that will come will bring stability to the nations. The Bible says the whole creation. They will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. The Bible says in the Romans 8 verse 19 that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So all these things will come into play. As we close, two answers to some of the things that have happened that people have been wondering about. We prayed, you know, but what we prayed was not what came out. Why did God allow that kind of a thing? Well, like I said earlier, the people asked for a king. God didn't violate their free will. God didn't want them to have a king. But they said, that's the king they wanted. God said, fine. In fact, in the book of Hosea, it says, I gave you a king in my anger. The second reason, which is a little bit more obscure, is that I believe, and again, I'm not saying this is thus saith the Lord, but I believe, like Paul said, you know, I believe, as one that has received the mercy of God to be faithful, I believe that God has allowed this to do three or four things. Number one, God is chastening the Democrats because of the extreme liberalism. To the point where even when you preach on the pulpit and you speak against homosexuality and things like that, the states can come and arrest you. That's wrong. That's wrong. I don't believe that homosexuals and all these things, you know, should be shot or should be put in jail or hate crimes. Certainly not. Their rights should be preserved. They should be protected. But their rights should not impinge on our own rights. Just as they have a right to speak and stand for what they believe, we have a right to speak and stand for what we believe. And I believe that this has been allowed also in order to further that end. Secondly, he's going to chasten the Republicans themselves. You know, God has a way of chastening everybody. Hallelujah. Even the Republicans themselves, it's easy to say something on the campaign trail. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty and the actual working of things out, it may not be that simple. And all the some statements that have been made in pride and say we'll do this. Well, reality is coming now. Then the third thing is that God will chasten the Nebuchadnezzar himself and make a better person out of him. By the time Nebuchadnezzar's reign finished, Nebuchadnezzar was a better person than he was at the beginning. So it is our duty to continue to pray for the president-elect, and he's going to become a better man. He will be a better man. As we pray for him, as God deals with him, as God chastens him, as events will unfold. I don't know all the details. I don't know all the things that God is going to do. But things will happen and things will change. And it will change for the better. It will not change for the worse. In Jesus' name. And I think those are two reasons. The will of the people that God did not violate. And also that God is going to use this as a chastening rod. Even the whole of the, not only America, the whole of the Western society. When I say the West, I'm talking about England, America, you know, all the West and all that. And not only the West, even the whole world. Do you understand? People have forgotten God. They have forgotten that the prosperity they enjoy is because of the blessings of their fathers. This God is going to use it to bring everybody around back to the God that they have forgotten. Like I said, it's a message of hope. In closing, what do we do? We don't stop praying. Like Samuel, I said that earlier on. We don't stop praying for President Trump. We don't stop praying. In fact, we intensify our prayers. We keep calling on God for the mercy of God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, and look at verse 19, verse 23. But for us, for me, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in seizing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you will be consumed, both you and your king. So what God is trying to tell us now is that we as Christians and as the church, as a prophetic company, we continue to pray and trust that people will, that they will yield to the Spirit of God, so that the chastening will not be that much and God's purpose ultimately will come to pass. I'm going to close with Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 14. This is talking about the end time. And that's what time we're in now. We're in the... Everybody now knows. In fact, some people were wondering whether the rapture is going to happen. I said, no. You know, okay. This is... We are really in the end time. Look at verse 9. Here, Jesus is talking about the end. Move up a little bit. Move up to verse 6. Ah, good. It's a good place to start. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We're there already. Syria, Yemen, all over the whole place. But it says, see that you be not troubled. Don't you never see you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Everybody, don't you never say the end is not yet. So Jesus is not coming back tomorrow. He's not coming back next year. He's not coming back in 10 years. He's not coming back in 15. Don't let me push it above that. Hello? The end is not yet. This is cutting edge prophetic truth. Now, next verse. Verse 7. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines. How many people have heard of famine? And pestilence. How many people have heard of pestilence? Zika, Ebola, all kinds. And earthquakes. I remember I've heard of earthquakes in diverse places. Don't your neighbor say, we are really living in the end time. This is evidence. But the good news. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now verse 9. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name. This has not taken place yet. Nobody hates all of the whole church. Some nations hate us, but not all nations. And we're not, at the moment, we're not being delivered to be afflicted and to be killed. In a few places here and there, yes. But generally, universally, no. What is going to cause this change is the emergence of Joseph and Daniel. As they begin to bind the princes and teach the senators wisdom, there will be a backlash. But the good news is, we will overcome it. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended. I didn't hear you. Don't you ever say, I'm not going to be offended, because I'm not going to allow my love to wax cold. And shall betray one another. This is things that are right ahead of us. The law containing shadow of things to come. When this thing happens, so many people are so worried and they're so troubled. It's true, we're going to have a bumpy ride. There's going to be a little bit of difficulty in the years to come, but you're going to be okay. Are you listening to me? If you will believe the prophets and you will do what we're telling you to do and stay close to God and pray, you are going to be fine. They shall betray one another, and they shall what? Hate one another. Verse 11. And many false prophets, I didn't hear you, shall rise and deceive many. That's already happening, and more is going to come. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall do what? Wax cold. A lot of people are going to be offended. A lot of people will fall by the wayside, you know, because of the difficulties of the times. There's going to be a clash. The Joseph and the Daniel will clash with the political, you know, and that shaking will, and then after a while it will stabilize. But he that endureth unto the end, I didn't hear you, the same shall be saved. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I preached a message on waiting on God's promise. And I said, why is it that sometimes there's a time lag between the promise and the manifestation? The answer is in the Bible. Let patience have a what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. That's why this developing of your character now is critical, because it is going to stabilize you in the days ahead. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 14, our closing verse. And this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of prosperity, not just the gospel of healing, not just the gospel of the new birth, not just the gospel of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the complete package. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is going to cause the emergence of the Joseph Daniel church that will tame the kings, overcome the Nebuchadnezzars and all these guys, you know, and then allow the bring stability, bring prosperity, allow the gospel to be preached to all nations. It says, in this place will I give peace, and then the end will come. That's the roadmap ahead of us, folks. This that has happened is shaking everybody. We need to start, continue to pray. Double down on your personal spiritual life, so that you would develop the fortitude and the strength that you're going to need to go through the days that are ahead. What has happened in America is a shaking, but God is in control. And it is ultimately going to turn out for the better. Better for America, better for the world, better for the president, better for the church, better for you, and better for me. Let us pray. Talk to God. Ultimately, it's going to work out for our good. It's a message of hope and light and understanding. So we now understand what has happened, why it has been allowed to happen, and what we need to do, what Israel ought to do, so that the purpose of God in all of this can ultimately be fulfilled. Talk to God. When Daniel understood by the books what was happening, he didn't go into despair. He went into intercession. As we understand from the books, prophetically, what God is doing, God expects us to step up to the plate. When Joseph heard the dream, sure, there were going to be rough days ahead. Days of famine were coming, but there was a solution even inside the dream. So it is today. There is a solution in the revelation from the scriptures, the prophetic scriptures. And that solution is you and I. The Josephs, the Daniels, to step up to the plate in the place of intercession, prayer, developing the love, the humility, the character of God, so that ultimately when we face the nations, we will have an answer. God will give them an answer of peace from the current shaking. And his kingdom shall know no end,
and his glory shall know no bounds. For the majesty and power of this kingdom's King has come.
Kingdoms reign,
he will rule,
and this one hand on your heart, raise the other hand. And this kingdom's reign,
and this kingdom's rule,
and this kingdom's power and authority. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so cling with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God, so that the life of God can flow maximally into our spirits to cause our prayers to avail much. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, Lord, revealing to me, Lord, your purposes on the earth at this time. I thank you, Father, because I know you rule in the affairs of men. And Lord God, you cause your kingdom to come and your will to be done upon the earth. Father, in spite of this current gross darkness, in spite of the shakings that the nations are now seeing and going through, we stand on the authority of your word. We thank you, Lord God, for what you are doing in the earth. We thank you for your Josephs. We thank you for your Daniels. We even thank you for your Nebuchadnezzars. We thank you for all you are doing, causing all things to work together for your good, so that at the end of it all, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto all nations for a witness before Jesus returns. Concerning my part, my Father, I commit myself to you afresh. I ask for fresh mercy. I ask for fresh grace to be faithful in prayer, to be faithful in intercession, like Samuel of old, that I will not sin by stopping to pray. Praying for Donald Trump, praying for America, praying for Nigeria, praying for our president, praying for the nations of the earth. And also, I will not stop in walking in love, in developing your character in my own personal life, in developing faithfulness, in developing endurance, in developing patience and fortitude. Lord God, strengthening and preparing me for the days that are ahead. I thank you, Father. I thank you for this prophetic word, Lord God, and I receive it in the name of Jesus. And I say, Lord, I believe your prophets, so I will prosper in your purposes that are ahead of the earth at this time. Oh God, my Father, help me in my individual life, in the places I have contact with, to be a light of hope. Help me to speak hope. Help me to speak light. Help me to speak comfort. Help me to speak direction to those who are afraid, to those who are in despair, that when the world is dark, there is light in the church. There is light in you that brings the answer to the problems of the world, that will bring stability to the shaking that we're seeing. Father, help me. Help me to play my own part in all of this. In Jesus' name. Neka tolo maturo matufridis. Liprike toske frenenga toske fridia. Loprike tusku fridinga tusku fridis. Lubridingi tusku fridis. Zofredeles. Lombrika matulo matulo mashokoko. Zefridia. Nongike tusku frides. Lombrodala shakito frides. Zofridia. Nongike toske fridi. Lombrodolo mashaka. Tufridia kalamatulo lombrika matulo mashtu. Lombrika matulo matulo matufridishi. Toloma tu fridis colo, lambriki tu fredes, lambriki toloma shala, kakloma toloma tu kloma toloma tu fushi, toloma kakloma toloma tu fushi kakloma tolos, zofre, lambriki toloma shoko kakloma toloma kakloma toloma sha, lambrika toloma tu fres, lambriki tu fris, zofre de, lambrika tasko fredes, lambrika matusko, lambriya tu fris. Lombriki tusko, lambrika matoloma toloma toloma shtu frise, sofre kakloma toloma tu frise, sofre laboko moto, oromo toloma 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 tu fridufre, sofres, zufrinis, ziki tu fris, l'ombre de l'est, sheki tu fris, dolomangaras, sheki tu fris, zofreningis, zolombras, tulus, zufris, sheki tu frenes, dolomangaras, tu frides, dolomangaras. In Jesus' name. Touch your body. Raise the other hand to God. We're going to pray for our healing and health. It is so important, even much more important now than it has ever been. God needs us to be strong. He needs to be healthy. He needs to be alive. What would have happened if Joseph had died? What would have happened if Daniel had died? He needs to be alive and well to fulfill our prophetic destiny in these perilous times. Say, Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. We say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection life and power, we are healed and live in divine health. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses and my pains. Therefore, sickness and disease do not have a legal right in my body, and I will not allow them to reign therein. And therefore, I release now resurrection life and power into my heart, into my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidneys, all my internal organs, all my blood vessels, into the DNA of every cell in my body to function error-free, into my immune system to function optimally. In the name of Jesus, I declare I am healed. I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. Join hands with somebody as we take the benediction. Let's. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Tell neighbor, say, you are not a mere man.